let's start with you, Dale.
Okay.
Go ahead. Just tell me kind of what's going on in Madison County, what you guys are seeing, what problems are arising.
Currently, the fire situation this summer has been very interesting. Traditionally, there's always been a fire or two out by the Menon Buttes. However, this year we've had four so far, and then another one just north of us in Clark County. And what's unusual about it is just the ability of the fuels to ignite and stay ignited and spread. And so we've had a lot of acreages lost, more than usual, and just a lot of fire growth. And so that puts a lot of the environment in danger, and also the firefighters. And so we would like to curb some of that fire starts from happening. And so the Madison County Commissioners, as of today, August 2nd, have instituted a burn ban that will be throughout the county, and it will extend till September 30th. And so the only burning that will be allowed without permission will be just in approved campfire pits.
Now, so this is for the county. So if you're like in Rexburg City or Sugar City, does that include that or just outside of city?
It's actually just in unincorporated areas of the county. That's under our direct fire supervision. The cities itself are well maintained, and with the yards being green and so forth, we don't have the same fire danger as we do out in the desert or in the eastern part of the county up in the forest.
I just talked to the National Weather Service this morning, and they were telling me they're tracking their 90-degree days, and, you know, like Rexburg, 90-degree days, that's not a normal thing, but we're seeing a lot of them this summer. Does that kind of play into just this hot, dry summer that we're having, play into this issue we're now seeing with fires?
It certainly does. When you talk about fire behavior, oftentimes you're talking about the fine dead fuels, the very fine grasses and twigs and such, and they are very receptive to the heat and also low humidity and the wind. And so when those combine together, then you have a fire environment that can be very explosive and dangerous.
Well, let's turn it over to you then. Tell me just kind of what the BLM's seeing, and I know there are a lot of human-caused fires this summer.
Yes, there are, and I think typically about 50% of our fires are human-caused. And so it's definitely something that we try to mitigate, and because human-caused fires are preventable, and you can't really prevent lightning fires. We haven't figured out how to do that yet. But, you know, human-caused fires, a lot of them are preventable. And so one of the things that we have in place is our annual fire prevention order, which prohibits the use of fireworks and certain types of ammunition and exploding targets on the public lands. And this year we stepped up our enforcement on that because we just weren't getting a lot of compliance with people abiding by that. And because of that, we've seen a lot of fires in the area that have been attributed to things that were included in that fire prevention order. Currently, our conditions are, we're in very high fire danger. I think up until this point, you know, as we know, we had a kind of a wet spring. We got a lot of grass growth as the summer's gone on. And as you mentioned, you know, the amount of 90-degree days that we've experienced, all of that fuel is now dried out. And, you know, we're getting to the point now where we're having trouble holding on to fires in initial attack. So it's getting to the point where resources are getting hard to get, because there's so many fires burning in the West.
Right, California, so, I mean, it's, every summer seems just to be on fire. And everybody seems to go there first, and then comes our fires, right?
Well, California has almost a year-long fire season anymore. They have a lot of resources in California, but, you know, they do get inundated with fires and have to draw resources from other places, including Idaho, you know, to help them. There's also large fires going in Oregon. There's large fires going in Nevada. You know, just the West, there's quite a few large fires burning right now. And there's kind of a competition for resources when, you know, we get into this much activity.
I know the Grassy Ridge fire, for instance, that was a lightning-caused fire. There are, what, 200-some-odd firefighters there at one point. It's dropped down since then. But what do people need to know to protect themselves and their property in places like this?
Yeah, you know, I think if you're talking about homes that are in what we call the wildland urban interface, which is areas where homes come in contact with wildland fuels, you know, it would be a good time to maybe look at your landscaping, look at the trees that you have on your property. How close are they to your house? Can you do some limbing? Sometimes it's as simple as just mowing your grass. You know, if you're living out in the wildland urban interface and you've got natural vegetation, you know, sometimes just mowing that, you know, would be a big help in protecting your house if something were to happen.
We had an interesting issue yesterday with firefighters and a helicopter and a drone. You mentioned the problems with fireworks and things like that, but we also have drones we need to worry about now. What message do you have for drone operators?
I guess I don't know specifically what happened with that incident, but when we do have aviation on our fires, we can't have drone intrusions. If people are flying drones over our fires, we have to shut down our aircraft. And if we're shutting down our aircraft, then we're affecting our fire suppression capabilities. And sometimes those capabilities are the difference between houses burning, you know, and private property, infrastructure, those types of things, burning and not burning.
I know Eastern Idaho, we love to go out on BLM land, and you mentioned target shooting and whatnot. It's just something that we like to do for fun, right? We go out there mm-hmm. and we have fun. What should people do before they go to the backcountry?
Well, I think number one, know the rules. Know what land you're on, because not all sagebrush is BLM land. And, you know, especially in the Menan Butte area, there are some private inholdings in amongst, you know, the public lands that are out there. And so I think it's important that you know exactly where you are and what's allowed there. And so getting back to the fire prevention order, if you're on public lands, there's nothing wrong with target shooting. But right now we have, from May 10th to October 20th, a prohibition on steel core ammunition, tracer rounds, fireworks, and exploding targets. And so we just ask that people don't use those types of materials during this period, especially with our conditions the way that they are. You know, I think also it's just important to just embrace the public lands and, you know, just realize how fortunate we are in this country to have public lands, you know, to utilize. We typically think about how we utilize them in recreation, but there are other people whose livelihood depends, you know, on public lands. There are ranchers in the area who rely on, you know, grazing public lands, or like I mentioned, they may have some private land adjacent to the public lands, and when we have fires, you know, their land burns too, and that affects their livelihood and it affects the local economies.
Let's talk about fines for a second. I know it doesn't seem to happen a lot, but it does happen. Somebody starts a fire or it gets out of control and they get fined. They have to pay something. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, under our prevention order, a violation of the order itself would be considered a misdemeanor citation. On the federal scale, it would be a $180 fine. However, you could also be responsible for paying the fire suppression costs associated with that fire, and that can get expensive.
What does it typically cost to fight a fire?
You know, there's just so many variables, you know, that it's hard to say. I mean, it depends how big the fire is, obviously, what resources are used and how many. You know, when we start using aviation resources, the cost goes up pretty quickly. When we start flying retardant and using helicopters, and the aviation assets that we have can be pretty expensive. And when we start bringing in heavy equipment like dozers and things like that, you know, engines and crews, it just depends what resources that we're using and for how long they have to be there.
I know sometimes, just getting back to people knowing the conditions and things, sometimes it's completely by accident that a fire starts. Maybe your chains are dragging on your truck or something. Are there things like that that you should just be aware of with your vehicle as you're out and about?
Yeah, I think especially when we start dealing with off-highway vehicles, ATVs, UTVs, those types of things where you're actually driving in amongst the vegetation or in close proximity to it, it's good to do a vehicle inspection before you, you know, go riding. I think trailers are another issue, as you mentioned, chains dragging on trailers. Check the condition of your tires. Have you had the wheel bearings, you know, greased on the trailer? Trailers sometimes can be problematic because people don't use them every day. They may use them once or twice a year. And so sometimes we can get a little bit lax in our maintenance, you know, of those types of vehicles.
I'll talk to both of you now. What's the bottom line people should know for this summer in fire prevention?
Ultimately, it's personal responsibility that to be aware of where you're at and what you're doing, and just using a really common sense approach that if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't look right, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. And obviously, if you are going to be out in the forest or on the rangelands, just stay on the approved roads or two tracks and be careful where you park your vehicle and just be a good steward and be responsible for the lands that we all want to enjoy and go back to over and over again.
Yeah, and I think I would echo that. I think it kind of boils down to situational awareness, understanding what the fire conditions are like and how the activity that you're going to be engaged in may affect whether or not we have a fire. You know, this time of year, people like to go camping, and so campfires can also be an issue. And so it's important to, you know, make sure that those are completely out, you know, before you leave. If they're cold to the touch, you know, just because they're not smoking when you leave doesn't mean that they're still not burning. And so, you know, just little things like that, just to be situationally aware of what the fire conditions are like and how the activities that you're engaged in, you know, may affect whether or not we have a fire and mitigating those.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.